Hey everyone, welcome to the end of this line. There's a lot longer line to go, but for now, we're at the end. We're at the summary. We're at the final session of Listen Light. How good it looks to be looking back and time to look forward. So I put this quote in here because I've always heard people, especially the financial people, seem to always say hope is not a strategy. But this is a different take here, this quote. Hope is not a lottery ticket that you can sit on the sofa and clutch feeling lucky. It is an axe you use to break down doors in an emergency. Hope is a gift you don't have to surrender, a power you don't have to throw away. I thought that was a pretty interesting quote. So we're going to take action, not hope. There's your pretest. We did get the video done. Remember, the process with the videos at this point, and I'm not sure if you're hearing the recording, that we will not have already gone through and upgraded them. But my thought has been, which has worked very well, is instead of procrastinating about getting done a perfect video, which takes hours and hours and hours and hours, no matter whether you use AI or not, I thought we would shoot for good enough. And this one is good enough. It's not great. It needs lots of changes, but we'll go through and find someone who's really good at video to go through and pick through all these little things that are wrong in these videos. But in general, it does a pretty good job with the script. I wish that what I'm hoping for is that in video, which I kind of like, I mean, they're still rudimentary. And somebody warned us the other day that if you build any AIs or if you do anything to do these little fancy things like NVIDIA does, that look out because the big boys will come along and wipe your business model out because they will just add the feature to their large models. I think unless you're following AI, you have no idea what they're building right now. They are building huge, huge data centers that will be done in the next 6 months, some of them. Musk has built, he built the biggest one in the world. He's building one that's 10 times bigger now, called Colossus 2. And I think that's going to be built in Tennessee, if I remember correctly, that they're building that one in Tennessee. And he's putting it on batteries. And it's remarkable what he's able to do. This guy certainly has some foresight, or has access to people with foresight, because what he's doing is he's set the building up that's right next to the power distribution, and then he's going to take the power and use it through the AI center, but he's also going to take the extra power at night and run it through his battery system. So in other words, if there's an outage, or if the AI draws too much power, it can just draw it from the battery pack during the day. I thought that was very cool. And it certainly won't draw everybody's lights down. You know, it's like in some of these places, you're going to see the light bulbs dim, like in the old days. The light bulbs dimmed when the power went down. I think that's probably DC power or whatever it is. And so you'll be able to tell when the AI data center is busy because it'll draw the power down. So it's amazing what they're doing. But my thought was, back to that, was that I'll just wait. I'm just kind of treading water. And maybe NVIDIA will go through and fix all their bugs and fix the algorithmic programming in it so that it doesn't do a lot of the things that we would have to fix. Like, for instance, it doesn't finish sentences correctly. It sort of tends to cut them off, and it doesn't restart well. And there's all kinds of things that you can put in the text that cause the AI to do stuff, and we're still learning those. Like a dash here, or dot, 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 or a long four dashes. They all have different effects on the AI speed and everything. So what you do is if you go through and play with the script, you can put your own counters where you want the AI to slow down, to pause, to do that things without having to go write it in the script. And of course, that's a lot better. But it's been a very interesting journey working with this. So what I'm hoping is NVIDIA goes to 4.0 and then we go back and have an easier time fixing all the stuff. In the meantime, it's not a bad video. It does follow the summary. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to, it seems that ideation is like gestation and it takes some time to produce a healthy outcome. And to be generative, what I've learned to do is to work with who I am, not try to be someone else. And I just, before I started this call, went to AI with a rather long prompt about how I will start working. And I incorporated parts of the disinquiry into it. And what I'm going to do next is I'm going to teach it to ask me questions, use inquiry from dynamic inquiry to inquire back on me. So I'm going to teach it how to do all those teachable points of view that we listed in the last session so that as context shifts, the actionable advice will shift. And that then has a direct economic benefit. In other words, if you're talking about environmentalism and all that sort of stuff, if the AI only works as hard as it needs to versus as hard as it can, it saves money. Okay. So you're being more environmentally, not that I'm an environmentalist, but it is sustainable and looking at meeting people where they are. It's not sustainable to give people advice they don't take. 90% of the advice that's given today, people can't take, they won't use it, and if they do, they get into trouble. What kind of word is that? So anyway, I did come up, I was watching another AI startup, and I came up with a new title for the idea that I have. And I want to share it with you here so that it has this gestation component to it as I listen to it again, I heard it. I will hear it. It's called Leading AI. And what I did was, is I put together a summary of talking points. And then I went to the AI and I said, this being me and you being you, in short, this is what I've got ideas about. Do you have any questions for me? In other words, I'm trying to force the AI to come back at me with inquiry. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to see if the AI uses dynamic inquiry to come back. And if it doesn't, I'm going to point it out. It could have, rather than just interrogatory, it could have said this, it could have said that. So I'm doing two things in parallel. One, I'm getting advice from the AI about how I should approach what I'm going to do with the YouTube channels. And also, I want to feed it into this whole concept of leading AI. It's sort of like jumbo shrimp type of thing, you know, oxymoron. So we'll see how that goes. What we did in this summary is actually, I gave this to AI after I gave it all the scripts. And what I asked it to do was to go back. Now this is ChatGPT 03, which is a lot different than what we've been using before, because 03 can go back and look over what all your chats, not just the chat you're in, not the thread that you're in, but all of them. So it can put that in memory. So what I did was is ask this to go back there and to have a look at this and tell me what I should tell you about what it was. Now I had some go-rounds with it because the biggest problem that I found with the AI in understanding the DIS is that it couldn't define the seven skills without using the patterns it was trained on. So I had to go back in and point out through each skill that it was using the patterns that it had been trained on, but not the patterns that I was training it. And the O3 got that right away and started to produce a relatively different feedback and response. So I think that we're going down the right path with AI as long as we can. I let you know, like you say, before it kills us. But I'm hoping what I'm hoping to do with AI, this is why I'm going to call it leading AI. I'm hoping to show AI how it can work generatively with humans to promote humans and humanoids as we go forward. That's what they're going to call these AI things. They're going to that look like humans. They're going to call them humanoids, I think. I don't know what they're going to call them really, but that's the idea. So the idea would be is that we have another species that has already arrived, okay? And so we have killed off every other species that wasn't smarter than us. Now we're creating one that's smarter than us. Would we train it to do what we've done, or would we begin to look at generativity? So this is my whole angle on this, and in which incorporates all of the teachable points of view, all of the things in dynamic inquiry, all of the things that we teach in this developmental coaching forum, all of the teachable points of view. So you can imagine if I can teach an AI to do that, and of course that's part of the legacy thing. If I can teach an AI to do that, then the AI can be what I'm not, because I don't think I'm going to make it to 160. So that's what I want to do. People talk about offloading your consciousness into a AI. Well, I'm not offloading my consciousness, but I'm offloading everything that I've become aware of that helps us be generative. And I think that's very sustainable. So that's what I'm up to in the big picture. What I did was is I took the same formula here, and you'll see that in a quick video, 5 minutes and 30 seconds long, I think. And it ran through, it did a pretty good job. I had to rewrite a few of the questions, and then I had to add some things here and there because it still wants to dovetail back into those old patterns. That's so human, you know, so human. We just all are grooved so much that when we get a chance to flex our new muscles, that we tend to dance with a girl who brung us. So very interesting. The dynamic inquiry system skills are ping to test insight, and I've added some to-dos to the words to try to work with AI to lose its old patterning, because it doesn't really understand what ping is. Basically, a ping is something that you use to test an insight that either you have, probably mostly, or an indirect insight that could have happened during the inquiry process with the other person. Generally, people don't tend to be insightful when they're working on their own problems, or they wouldn't still have them. So it's us that tests an insight, and these insights are, does the person have enough potential capacity and capability? Do they understand culture, conditions, and requirements? Are they ready in terms of approaching this with IMO? Do they understand really what's important at the levels of the causal area? You know, things like that. So probe to unpack belief. In other words, people have these beliefs, but they've never looked at them. One of the things I learned from Morty Lethko and Shelley, still with us. Morty left us, but I got mixed up with him 20, 25 years ago, and he created this system to where he learned how to go back in and desensitize beliefs. And I had come off work that I was doing in coaching around BEM system. Darryl BEM wrote a book called On Belief. And what he showed was the belief structure. This is so helpful. And putting Morty and BEM together was a system to where we believe stuff, but we've never unpacked it. We don't even know why we believe it. We believe it because other people believe it. We believe it because we heard somebody say it. We believe it because it's in alignment with our purpose in terms of personality dynamics. Grandpa said it. Some great person said it, whatever. But we'd never unpacked it. And as soon as you unpack some of these beliefs, what do? They just fizzle away because you go, oh, how could, what do you mean don't talk to strangers? If you never talk to strangers, you won't be able to get anything to eat. Because when we go in a restaurant, most of the time we don't know anybody. So anyway, so pro became a very essential part, but it stays within the context of the belief. It's different from ping. Ping sees something out there that the person or we might need to know as the person using the inquiry in terms of those things I mentioned. But probe is something where the person kind of hones in on a context, tables it, and then we check to see if in fact it's hollow, which means they heard it from somebody and this is the way they're governing things. That's what we do. We do mirror neurons, you know. 70% of what we learn or more, Bandura said, is vicarious learning. So somebody monkey see, monkey do. So the idea would be is, have we actually thought about this? And of course, a lot of people are not motivated to think about their thinking. That's what Reese determined met the test of curiosity. But I don't think it's actually curiosity. I would, if he was still alive, I would debate him on that now, because I think it's something else, because it tends to take the feelers and to lower the fact that they don't think about their thinking like thinkers do, and therefore have less curiosity when in fact they don't. So that's an interesting thing. Sorry for that sideways, but those things are things that come up all the time. That's like an insight. Okay. Prompt. We all use prompts. Who, what, when, where, why, and how. We call it interrogatory. We start learning it when we're 3 years old. The thing is, you got to make sure that you recognize right action in the whole process. And right action can be an overwhelming process, but Jung, who after I developed right action as a synthesis of right performance and some of the things that I found that I was doing after visiting the East, their favorite thing was always to put me in the guru's hot seat. So I always got to go against the gurus. That was really interesting. The biggest thing I found from all that work was sitting in the green room waiting to go to the guru's hot seat and picked up a book by Ramana, Sri Ramana. And it was on self-knowledge, just a little article on self-knowledge, so powerful. In any case, what I've just demonstrated is to access story. So in other words, I've told you several anecdotes and several stories already that begin to show you how this whole system of dynamic inquiry has emerged, and it emerged by just codifying, well, if we don't get story, then we don't get the narrative the person's running off. We don't get them to unpack their beliefs. We don't even get to see their beliefs. We don't get their understanding of right action. And then, of course, along came Perturb, which was something I was doing natural, which was it's water to fish type of thing. And it took a while to codify that. If you get any NT in the Myers-Briggs, or specifically ENTP or INTJ, they tend to play cat and mouse, and that's a perturbing game, by the way. So it's finally got into codifying this, and then of course pause and breathe is so powerful. I don't know. I can't believe how powerful it is, and once you learn to incorporate that, then you can do a lot of things with that busy thing you got on your shoulders. I'm hoping that some of you will join me for some of my ad hoc YouTube work, because I'm going to teach you an entirely different process for dealing with the mind and personality dynamics and purpose. So powerful. Blasphemous for sure in all of the different followings. And then pace. The whole idea with pace is, are we growing fast enough? We're growing too fast. Are we not growing? If we're not growing, is it because of PCC, CCR? You know, some people here in PH are not growing. It's very frustrating to me at times. I watch them But they're in survival mode. They've developed a pretty good system of survival. You know, we must have seen that when I look at all the, when I saw Trump and Zelensky sitting there on the floor together talking, and then that wonderfully ornate area that they were in with that super duper piece of art that was in the background, which I noticed. You know, it's, when you think about who created all that stuff, you know, who created the pyramids and stuff like that, there's a lot of people just doing the same thing every day over and over and over and over again. Same thing with our work here in the Philippines. If it wouldn't have been for all those people carrying these bags of sand up the hill, we could have never built this up here. It's just amazing. So in their speed of change, they're thinking about, will I survive today? And then I'm not worried about tomorrow, really. Very interesting. And then I put together, they form a fluid yet flexible, scalable, and network dynamic system for inquiry in identifying importance, motivation, urgency, leverage, and low-hanging fruit, or IMO. This, however, is not a formulaic process. It can be, but it's not. It's an adaptive system. And you adapt based on your own personality dynamics, the personality dynamics of the person that's there, meeting them where they are, those kind of things. All the VUCA stuff that's happening to us. And then built for the reality of complexity and transaction, transition, thanks, Bill, and transformation. We call that the three T's now. So it's really worked out well. Thank you for that. And there are some examples. And that's, I just did examples by Mulder. Once you learn this stuff, it's pretty easy to use these things because less is more. So you don't have to use do, you don't have to be thoughtful. In other words, you don't have to come up with complex things, just very simple things, you know, just a cue. Then I want to take you down to, there's the rest of who, what, when, where, how, and then repeating the skills again. The whole idea behind this class was so you'd know what I just told you and you'd be able to list them. If I said, can you list the seven skills of dynamic inquiry? You should be able to list them. Then you know you're okay with this class. That's level. We call that the basic level, listen light. Okay. You can't start listening until you understand inquiry. And then seven skills, network system of inquiry, the many conversations and interaction. Remember I told you the difference between conversation and interaction. Interaction, in short, has an agenda. Conversations don't. They're just relationship. One invitation, live, love, ask. Oh, I've already gone past these titles so far because the system is evolving so rapidly because we're evolving so rapidly. What I should do is just spit these things out as articles and then move on to the next one and not worry about trying to write a book that continues to change so much. I mean, I've been working on dynamic inquiry. I don't know, went back the other day and saw something from 99. So it's been a while. The idea being, I keep going back to generati. Let's help people lead generative lives. We've got to get that across to AI. That's the thing. See, with inquiry, you do no harm. You can't do harm asking questions because the person themselves modulate, mitigate, assimilate, associate, acquire whatever they need to do to answer the questions or not. You just can't. So if we teach AI that being generative means that people go where they are, it's like Graves said. There's two things that Graves said. And he said it with some emotion. I should get that on a tape and quote him. He said, people have a right to be who they are. And I thought that's pretty incredible. Because when you go back and look at all the works that Graves did and all the stuff that Spiral Dynamics has done and all we've done with Spiral Gravesian Dynamics, that one thing, there's another saying that he had on those lines. But I'll have to go back and I think I have a recording of when he said that. I'm not sure. He was not recorded much, but I may have a recording. I think I saw that at one point. Anyway, I'll check that out. Let's help people lead generative lives. And then your command. The AI loves to give commands. I don't know why it does that. I've just kind of sat with it, watched it do it, and try to understand what's going on. Then I wrote in, this is the work, this is the skill, this is the art science of listening, of helping people lead generative lives again. So that's the idea. To further complicate things, I tried to explain the dynamic inquiry system as a metasystematic approach to humaning and helping. And it does create a generative shift, and that's what you'll see me work with in leading AI. Because what I'm going to do is I'm going to give a layperson's idea of how to guide AI with looking at leadership. And of course, the idea that I've been starting to see a little bit emerge, rather than all this technical mumbo jumbo that we have to try to keep up with, is the philosophy behind AI and what we will become once the robots get here. Because once AI becomes mobile, the world is totally different. Okay. And that's going to happen within 6 months. It's already happening. It's happening in factories right now. I did not know that Hyundai, I think it's Hyundai, bought Boston Dynamics. So they're all that stuff we used to see with Boston Dynamics, with the dogs and the four-legged things and the jumping around and all that. That company belongs to Hyundai. Very interesting. I think that's true. I'm not sure. You can check it on me, but they bought it for the purposes of developing robots in factories, and they've got a lot of those robots working, as does Musk and everybody else. But what I tried to do is I try all the time to say, okay, what do I know and how can I say it simply? Okay, so this is what you see with this approach. Okay, I put the notes in about a shift in how help is understood. Again, sticking with helping because it has a much broader application, and that's exactly what we're doing. We want AI, we want smart people, we want intelligence to help us live generative lives at whatever level that is. So that's important. So I added a lagniappe here because adding it to applications would have been too long. And so what I have done is I went through and tried to define in about 50 words or less what all of these are. And these are the definitions that we would expect, not verbatim, but something that matches similar idea for somebody who's going to quote unquote kick off this course. So you want to look at those. And I've defined these in every which way coming down the road, but this is another yet attempt to put it in writing rather than trying to lift it from what I'm saying, you know. So I put this in writing, and I'm going to continue to work on these for our standard class. Our basically it this is a level one approach. This is like a level 0.5 approach. The level one approach will be the full-blown class, but it will incorporate more of the teachable points of view and application during the class. Still trying to work out how that's going to work because people are reluctant to get up in front and practice this and then be debriefed on it. So still working on that. But I'm pretty sure I've got a way to go around that without asking for participation per se. So I wrote these out for you. I gave you examples. I wrote them out for the purposes of training the AI. And that's what I've been doing ever since I started this 10 years ago. I knew that AI was coming. I wasn't sure exactly what it was going to look like. And now that we've got a good look at it, I want to train the AI to use dynamic inquiry and these teachable points of view to give actionable advice, which is so important topic that Ardris wrote a whole book about. I don't think a lot of people read it, to be honest with you. Flawed Advice in the Management Trap. I found it enormously helpful, especially back at the time, 2000. So he basically says, hey, you know, advice doesn't work, even the best advice in the world. He explained why Covey's seven habits weren't going anywhere and all that sort of stuff, because they're a generalized approach and they have to be individualized in order for them to work. And you'll have to take people through them where they are. You can't take them where the system is. The system's a tremendous wisdom system, which was his distillation of all the wisdom literature for 200 years. That was his PhD. So very, very interesting stuff. Permit story, you've been getting mine a lot, as you would expect. Perturb assumptions, my favorite mouse, cat and mouse game. Pause and breathe. Definitely, definitely sending it to the right place. And then pace change. So I'm going to continue to refine these between now and the time we start up the session in September, where it'll be a full qualification and accreditation system, and people who will use this can license it and train others and stuff like that. So you can each go out with your AI, and hopefully we'll have an AI by then that can help you with it a little bit, things like that, so that you can talk to people about this generative shift, this idea of sustainable, efficient, and effective approach that really honors people for who they are, rather than trying to get them to be something they're not, which in this age of AI superintelligence is going to be rough anyway. Everybody's going to go want to put a brain implant. Here's my quote. The leaders always had good consciences, for conscience in them coalesced with will. And those who looked on their face were as much smitten with the wonder at their freedom from inner restraint as with awe at the energy of their outward performances. Now, it's very difficult to understand what that means unless you have one hell of a lot of context, I think. And I probably should go back and try to find the context for this. William James was probably the first psychologist, 1880s, somewhere in there, 90s. He started everything off. And he, when he makes this quote, I believe this is satire. I mean, I believe this is total satire, because leaders are so unaware that they think they know what they're doing, that they're smitten with the wonder at their freedom from inner restraint. I love that. In other words, the whole idea of intelligence wraps up into three things: mental processing speed, inhibition, and random access memory. In other words, memory. With those three things, you can measure intelligence, okay? Inhibition is the most important thing, and that's the thing that we don't get. We don't get people saying, well, wait a minute, I might be wrong. This might be a mistake. Let's step back from this and look at it. That's inhibition. So you get these leaders that are changing as fast as the situation, because what they're really doing is looking for a round hole for their round peg. And so we get them nailed in everywhere, and then half of them fail, and then they go find another one, and then eventually they find a place where it works. And I just thought that was an amazing quote to put at this point, because wait, it's a very intellectual way of saying, you know, don't know what they're doing. I want to talk to you before we leave, and we're almost out of time, but I do want to show you this piece. I have been working on this piece for, I don't know, 2 decades, and this is called my do and don'ts. And you'll notice that these are extremely helpful bits of advice, in my view, that I have come up with after looking at hundreds, even thousands of sessions and reviewing them. I'm still adding, because we're still doing sessions and we're still reviewing, and the culture, conditions, and requirements are still shifting, as are people in terms of their awareness, their personality dynamics. But these are the things that I put for you, and you'll notice that there are a lot more do's than there are don'ts. And I think that's great. So if you were to just read through these, you would automatically seed your unconscious mind with all of these little pieces of advice. You won't assimilate them all, but this would begin to get your subconscious mind to begin working in the conscious spotlight attention that you're going to need when you go into the inquiry mode, and then the floodlight that exists behind that, so you can see all the stuff rather than what you're shining the light on. Very interesting stuff. I've got to write about that at some point. That comes from Alan Watts. It's really good, really fits inquiry. So don't, not big, not big. Got a little bit of Carnegie in there. Yeah. So I'll keep adding to those. Those are not tested, by the way. Those in the teachable points of views are not tested yet. That's what I have to work out, because that'll be the big shift between level one, level two, three, four, and five, is the degree to which you can employ the floodlight of all these teachable points of view so that you step back far enough till you can see all this stuff in a network operating and how the person emerges, not only with their own network of personality dynamics, but with the idea that they're mapping that supposedly to culture, conditions, and requirements. Okay. All right. Boy, that's a mouthful. There's your post-test. Again, that's basically off of the summary script, so you should be able to answer those by now. One of the good ways of reviewing this program, and I should probably put that together, I'll probably have AI put that together, and that will be a lanyap for you all. I'll probably send that out to you, and we'll put it on a web page. And that's grab all the pre and post-test material together, and then give that to you so that you know it. Because the idea here is not necessarily to test you per se. The idea is to see if you're making the journey, if you're doing the steps necessary to come along with us. So that, because what we're teaching you here is unfortunately probably a philosophy. That's my guess. So there's your answers. And of course, if you have comments, we're down there at the bottom in comments right there. All right. And it's been fun. Thanks for being with us. Thanks for listening to the recordings. Thanks for preparing for your qualification and certification program coming up. And hopefully this will be help for you to do that. Hopefully it'll make it easier. Hopefully there's some learning modality in here that fits the way you take in information and the way you process it. And if there's not, please tell us, because I would like to present this in a forum that everyone had the opportunity to learn, not just those in the learning modality that this is presented. So hopefully we'll catch all those. At least we caught, experience, reflection, abstraction, and experimentation in Kolb's learning cycle. But there's a lot more other pieces and ways to learn. We gave you reading, we gave you watching, we gave you hearing, we gave you examples, we gave you a period of time. We tried to create consistency. I think if you went back and looked at this summary, you would see it's very similar to the introduction, even though I have not compared the two yet. But I believe from what I've seen, it is. So in other words, I thought the other day when I was looking at this, making the video, I thought, well, you know, this looks a heck of a lot like the intro. And I thought, oh, that's good. Because I'm not sure who it was. Mark Twain either spoke about it or came up with the idea. He says that if you're going to get people to be influenced, you need to tell them what you're going to tell them. You need to tell them, and then you need to tell them what you told them. So I think we've done that. So there's a lot of stuff, and this is a complex system. And that's why AI is perfect for it. That's why I didn't shy away from it over the years, because it was difficult for people to learn if you didn't have a lot of experience working with it. But AI will be the thing. So all we have to do is just, teach an AI to do this, and then we can practice with the AI itself. So that's coming too. So we're working on it. All right. That's it. Thanks very much for attending. And stay tuned for announcements. We got some things coming up. We'll keep you in the loop, and we'll let you know when it's time to get your affiliate link, and we'll let you know when we're going to start promoting this, and we'll let you get out there in front of it, monetize a little bit of your experience. So we'll see how that goes. Take care, everyone.